Open your Bibles to 2 Samuel chapter 14. 2 Samuel chapter 14. I'll read a text to you on this passage. That's a very lengthy passage. What I will try to do is give some observations from the passage. Now Joab, the son of Zeruiah, perceived that the king's heart was toward Absalom. And Joab sent to Tekoa and fetched thence a wise woman and said unto her, I pray thee, feign thyself to be a mourner and put on now mourning apparel and anoint not thyself with oil, but be as a woman that had a long time mourned for the dead. And come to the king and speak on this matter unto him. So Joab put the words in her mouth. And when the woman of Tekoa spake to the king, she fell on her face to the ground and did obeisance and said, Help, O king. And the king said unto her, What aileth thee? And she answered, I am indeed a widow woman, and my husband is dead. And thy handmaid had two sons, and their two strove together in the field, and there was none to part them, but the one smote the other, and slew him. And behold, the whole family is risen against thine handmaid. And they said, Deliver him that smote his brother, that we may kill him for the life of his brother whom he slew. And we will destroy the ear also, and so there shall quench my coal which is left, and shall not leave to my husband neither name nor remainder upon the earth. And the king said unto the woman, Go to thy house, and I will give charge concerning thee. It's God's word that we have read.
Amen.
Today I want to speak about false reconciliation. False reconciliation. You know what reconciliation means? It means to reconcile two people who were enemies. Back in chapter 12, we saw the joy of reconciliation. And these studies in 2 Samuel are continuous, as you can see. You can't just read one chapter and stop. You have to read and study the whole book. We saw the joy of reconciliation. It began when David acknowledged his guilt and sought repentance. That repentance and reconciliation was precipitated by three important graces. One, the prophet Nathan, the man of God, was sent by God to David, who had offended God. Two, it was precipitated by the word of God brought to bear upon David's conscience. Note these things, because I don't know if these things are true with some of us. Three, reconciliation came because David was told, The Lord hath put away thy sin. In other words, David was declared just. And that's what he said in Psalm 51, when he prayed. Here in 2 Samuel 14, we see a false reconciliation with Absalom. None of the above graces I just mentioned in David's restoration and reconciliation are seen in Absalom's when you study. None. Yet we are told in this chapter that Absalom returned high and dry to Jerusalem. Absalom's reconciliation were brokered by a scheme of Joab, David's general, and the deceit of a wise woman from Tekoa, who disguised herself as one mourning for a dead son in order to play on the king's psyche, emotions. The scheme worked, and David brought home his son from exile after he had brutally murdered Amnon in revenge of his abuse of Tamar, their sister, back in chapter 13. David, as Israel's king, should have given some form of reprimand to Amnon for his crime, but he allowed the sin to fester. He did nothing. The scripture is silent. Brethren, we have situations in this church. Absalom, on the other hand, took matters in his own hand by killing his brother and fled to his mother's homestead in Geshur. After 3 years, the whole matter was forgotten, swept under the rug. You men should listen to me. A lot of us have cherished sins in our hearts. Don't want to bring them out. That's why I prayed in the way I prayed. David had the power to retrieve this man, Absalom, from where he was, bring him back. We call it today, when criminals are in a different country, there's a word, brother, that boy, no, he's a politician, you know. You know what he's talking about. Bring him. David had that power, but he was silent. We read in 2 Samuel 13, two pages back, verses 37 and 38. But Absalom fled and went to Talmai, the son of Amminahud, king of Geshur. I tell you, this guy had royal background. And David mourned for his son every day. So Absalom fled and went to Geshur and was there 3 years. Now for David to bring back this runaway fugitive son without justice was a breach of the moral law. I showed it to you. And the Bible is for us to study, not to just read, to study. God has uncovered the sins of his people. But the message being taught is that there is man's way of reconciliation with God, and there's God's way of reconciliation. Let me bring you up to speed where we are today in 2 Samuel. We saw many of David's triumphs in warfare. We saw him making peace with surrounding enemies, Abner, Mephibosheth. We saw him unifying Israel and bringing them into one kingdom. We saw him returning the ark the second time after God chastised them. But in the second portion of 2 Samuel, we see another side of David. Though he triumphed in his royal and military duties, he failed in his private life. You see, at times nobody knows what's going on in your home and in my home, but it affects the church. It weakens the church. It weakens the preacher that he can't even stand and preach. You don't know the gravity of sin in a congregation. David failed in his private life We saw in 2 Samuel 13 that David was a permissive dad. He gave consent to send his daughter, Tamar, virgin daughter, to her brother's house, who pretended to be sick. David provided a dangerous platform for Ammon by making provision for the flesh. After all, Amnon was his firstborn. He was the crown prince. He was next in line. He was a sweet boy. He was an untouchable. You know, we got children like that. David brought no correction on Amnon. In our last message, we saw that when Absalom organized a feast and invited his brethren, though David was very uneasy, he was permissive again by sending Amnon to the slaughterhouse. When you are uneasy about something, don't do it. Lord is speaking. Sometimes I am uneasy about things, and I rush in and do it and get a lash. I told you not to do that. Hypothetically speaking, if David had administered some form of discipline upon his firstborn son Amnon for abusing his sister, Absalom would not have had this platform to take advantage of. 2 Samuel 13 ends saying, listen to this, this puzzles me. And King David longed to go to Absalom, for he had been comforted concerning Amnon, because he was dead. All David is thinking about is the kingdom and one of his sons on that kingdom, not knowing that wasn't God's plan. It was not none of them that was going to be on, that God was speaking about. Not a one of them. That's how we think. We think earthly. Our passage today will show how this once exiled son returned to Jerusalem scot-free. You know, a lot of people come into the church without repentance. The church is a mess. Every so often you got to deal with them. Sometimes it is unfortunate. Nothing is wrong with being affectionate. God is a God of love. But God is a God of truth and justice. And today you and I have hindsight. And we can read how this reunification of David and Absalom ended in disaster. We can read it. We got hindsight. Today, many want this kind of a gospel. Today, many want this kind of a preaching. One that provides reconciliation without justice. Many churches, in their zeal to fill their churches, forego repentance, faithfulness, holy living. They forego these things. We would not attract a large following here. But we, if we attract anyone, it would be quality Christians. Today, the unconverted are permitted to enter into the church and its membership without any semblance as our brother was saying, of conviction of sin and the Sabbath. Any regularity in worship and other graces of Christ. Don't ask me anything. If you don't see me, be quiet. This message has gospel implications, and I intend to show you them. Because of the density of the chapter, I will outline it in its entirety without commenting on most of the verses, with three headings that is on your bulletin. How men can deceive, verses 1 to 17. The discernment of the king, it should have been that, instead of David, because there's a specific king I have in mind that David typifies. The discernment of the king, verses 18 through 20 and 3. The tragic decision that was made, 21 through 23. First, how men can deceive, verses 1 to 17. Read verse 1. Now Joab, the son of Zeruiah, perceived that the king's heart was toward Absalom. Now if anyone was close to David, it was Joab. He was somewhat like the Secretary of State in the United States. The one privy to the secrets of the king, the military secrets. You know, at times they work out underhand deals. And this is one here. Joab knew David favored Absalom. So he hatched a scheme to reconcile him with his father. He did this to bring back this boy willy-nilly. If you know that term, I learned that term in Zimbabwe. Can you imagine that? Joab perceived what was in the king's heart. And we can do this, you know. The Bible says that we can know the hearts of people. In 1 Corinthians, the Bible says, as man's face answereth the face. You may not be absolutely right, but you can tell at times what people are thinking. Because you too think the same way. And you know what you're capable of. Joab did this. He perceived what was in the king's heart. All the ways of man are right in his own eyes. If Joab had the mind of God, he would have besought the king to do the right thing. Deuteronomy 16:19. You shall not pervert justice. You shall not show partiality, nor take a bribe. For a bribe blinds the eyes of the wise and twists the words of righteousness. The general Joab, in his desire to accommodate the king in bringing Absalom back to Jerusalem, sought a wise woman of Tekoa. Verse 2. And Joab sent to Tekoa and fetched thence a wise woman and said unto her, I pray thee, feign thyself to be a mourner, and put on now mourning apparel, and anoint not thyself with oil, but be as a woman that had a long time mourned for the dead. It's a wicked scheme. Tekoa was roughly 10 miles south of Jerusalem. It wasn't that far, but it was in the suburbs. Joab resorts to his own wisdom to broker a peace deal with reconciling Absalom to his father, David, by putting words into the mouth of this woman from Tekoa. Verse 3 says, go to the king and speak to him in this manner. So Joab put the words in her mouth. Just as Joab put words in this woman's mouth, men can put words in our mouths. The books we read, that we think is dogma, the people we listen to, we can become mimickers. But God's servants are not to be the mouthpiece for men. We are to be the mouthpiece for God. This woman was deceptive on three counts. One, in verse 2, she sought to deceive with her apparel by pretending to be a mourner. Her dress, she looked right, like some in the church. They look right. Second, she sought to deceive with her approach to the king. Verse 4 says, she fell to the ground and did obeisance, an act of honor, false worship to the king, fake honor, pretense. Third, she sought to deceive with her appeal to the king. Help me. Verse 5 and 6 says, go on to say this. King said unto her, what aileth thee? And she answered, I'm indeed a widow woman, and mine husband is dead. And thy handmaid had two sons, and the two strove together in the field, and there was none to part or separate them, but the one smote the other and killed him. This woman uses Nathan's strategy with a parable. False teachers preach expository preaching, but you're wrong all the time. The difference between the parable of Nathan and the parable of this wise woman of Tekoa is that Nathan's parable was to address David's conscience in regards to his sin. This wise woman's parable was to play on David's psyche, his emotions. But some preachers make a decision, just as I am without one plea, say it 10 times. And it was to play on his conscience and his emotions to the neglect of his responsibility in administering discipline. Verse 7, behold, the whole family is risen against thine handmaid. And they said, deliver him that smote his brother, that he may kill him for the life of his brother whom he slew. We will destroy the heir also. And so shall they quench my coal which is left, and shall not leave to my husband either name nor remainder upon the earth. You see where she's going, Charlie? But she's pointing to David. Your name. You have to bring him back. You have to forego justice, forget the justice part. As you can see, these words that Joab gave this woman to speak was an attempt to preserve David's earthly kingdom, that Absalom might continue the line. I don't want him to come back like that, to take the kingdom by force. But let me say that neither David or anyone else had to do this, helping God, because Almighty God made a promise. David's son will sit on his throne, not any of these ones, but Christ, the eternal Son. Christ must be your Lord. must be your Savior. The church can never be eradicated by man. Many in our day have this humanistic philosophy that they can help God. Many today can be as this wise woman of Tekoa. They wear the right apparel. They have the right approach. They may even make the right appeal. Help God. But we must be ever mindful of our Savior. Many will say on that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Have we not done many wonderful works in your name? Then I will say unto them, depart from me. I never knew you who practice lawlessness. Notice that in this falsified parable, the wise woman is seeking restoration of an unnamed son. She even has a mixture of truth and error. Look at verse 14. She said, for we must needs die and are as water spilt on the ground, which cannot be gathered up again. Neither doth God respect any person, yet doth he devise means that his banish may not be expelled from him. You see what she's saying? It's partly true. She says, hasn't God devised a means that all his banished are not separated from him? Yeah, God has devised a means, but not at the expense of justice and grace. You don't come into the church willy-nilly. You come by repentance. That's the means. This is a dangerous message. It's a message that says God overlooks sin. That all men will end up the same place. If this was true, why did Jesus suffer on the cross and cry, my God, why have thou forsaken me? Why did he command the church that repentance must be preached in his name, beginning at Jerusalem in the church? Many today want the church to forego the biblical message of reconciliation as the means of restoring sinners to God. And that's why we broke when we read, for he have made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. In him, everything is in him. Don't let these smooth talkers of religion sway us. That clown, T.D. Jakes, and all of the gang, Joel Osteen, and some of you, feast on these people. False reconciliation. Don't let men beguile you. We are not to be as the many who corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. 2 Corinthians 2:17. The parable this woman brought was different to what actually happened between Absalom and Ammon. In the woman's story, she said in verse 6 that two sons were fighting and one smote the other and killed him. And Absalom scares? He planned it. It was premeditated. It was a plot to kill his brother. He committed a capital offense. There was no provision in the cities of refuge for one who committed a capital offense. They were to be brought back. God had provided means for one who killed someone in fighting and one who killed in premeditation in Numbers 35. We don't have the time to read it. But we read in verse 15, these six cities shall be for refuge for the children of Israel, for the stranger, for the sojourner among them, that anyone who kills a person accidentally may flee there. You see, Christ is our city of refuge. We are murderers. And just to look at some of the things we think about people in our hearts, we flee to him. Absalom's case was not accidental. It was, I assure you, it was well crafted. The words of the woman of Tekoa were one of deception to the king. Another way this wise woman sought to deceive was to deny her source. Look at verse 15. Now therefore, that I am come to speak of this thing unto my lord the king, it is because the people have made me afraid. Thy handmaid said, I will now speak to the king. It may be that the king will perform the request of his handmaid or his maidservant, like the New King James says. The scripture did not mention anything about the people. It was Joab that put these words in her mouth. She was to recite them. So my first point is how man can deceive. Preachers, fellow Christians, teachers, TV evangelists, I name a few. Point two, discernment, discernment of the king, 18 to 20. David became suspicious of the woman's parable. Verse 18, let's go on. Then the king answered and said unto the woman, hide not from me. I tell you, we had a situation here yesterday. You men should think about this. Seriously. Because some of you lack transparency. The chicks have come home to roost right here. Hide not from me, I beg thee, the thing that I shall ask thee. And the woman said, let my lord the king now speak. Call names. And the king said, is not the hand of Joab with thee in all this? And the woman answered and said, as thy soul liveth, my lord the king, none can turn to the right hand nor to the left from aught that my lord the king hath spoken. For thy servant Joab, he bade me. And he put all these words in the mouth of thine handmaid. David was uneasy. He pressed her. David saw similarities in the words of this woman and his own personal experience, and he knew that it came from Joab. He knew who it came from. And sometimes it isn't hard to figure out where the gossip came from. Yet in verse 19, is not the hand of Joab with thee in all this? Brethren, it is always dangerous to follow the doctrines of men. Jesus said, you have erred, having not known the scriptures. David may have been a permissive father, but he's not a fool. He had the spirit. He knew those around him. And any spiritual man know who is around him. Never underestimate the gift of discernment given to God's servants. You may not have it, but don't underestimate it. God do dealings with his servants. Any spiritually minded person ought to know the source of division and error. They also ought to know what some of their people are capable of doing. Just like David. God didn't only give David this. That's why God is so careful. If you and I truly have the Holy Spirit, we will have discernment. We're told in Hebrews, for everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness. He's a nepios, a spiritual invalid. But strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, mature, full grown. Those who, by reason of use, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. The milk regimen is for infants, immature. Many here haven't moved past the infancy diet. Many of you still act in a spiritually immature manner. This one don't like me, the other one don't. No spiritual discernment to detect what is from the Bible and what is superstition and Christ out of your own mind. So then, I have more to go. Relax. We have seen two observations, how men can deceive with their wisdom. With their perception, men will invariably twist the way of reconciliation. Two, we saw the discernment of the king, wisdom typified by David, who saw the source of error, which is Christ, and warns us. Three, tragic decision. Last head. Miriam, if you don't understand my English, speak to Angela. That's why I'm going so slow. Tragic decision. 21. The king said unto Joab, behold, now I have done this thing. I made a decision. Go therefore, bring the young man Absalom again. Once more we see the tenderness of David's heart toward his son as he once more vacillates under emotion. Many have used this text to show the love of David, but many dare not say how he compromised the truth because of his feelings for this boy. And this is what David did in his permissive action in succumbing to Joab's scheme to bring back this boy. The compromise in bringing Absalom back without an adequate form of reprimand and discipline opened a Pandora's box in the kingdom. I say you guys got hindsight. You can read the whole. You can go home this evening and read the whole book. But I have to go step by step. For 2 long years after Absalom came back,
He never saw David's face. It shows he told over still enemies, but he was reconciled. He was reconciled. And there's some in the church like that. They're reconciled. They're still enemies with God, and they're still enemies with the Lord's people. What kind of reconciliation is that? Verse 24. I'll read verse 23 and 24. So Joab arose and went to Geshur. He went all the way down there and brought Absalom to Jerusalem. The king said, let him turn to his own house and let him not see my face. So Absalom returned to his own house, saw not the face. Can't believe this. Don't want to see him. Get things right. Yeah, I ask you, what kind of reconciliation is that? Oh, this is our historical context, contextual observations. How men can deceive us with their wisdom. The discernment of the king, what true wisdom is like. Tragic decision, making peace without reconciliation, Elmira. Making peace without any bloodshed, any payment for the wrong. What you and I can discern from the context of the chapter is quite fitting today in the church. Many have developed their own means of reconciliation. Reconciliation, brethren, Michelle, it's just another way for salvation. It's just another big word. To be reconciled means to be saved. I want you to understand what I'm saying. Many develop their own way. The church. Mercy at the expense of truth. It's not mercy. The church is open for all men, women, boys and girls from all walks of life. I would like to see our churches packed, but it would not happen. Let's be realistic. Why? Straight is the gate that leads to life, and few will find it, because broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many will be on that way. We have ministered at times to 400 people in Zimbabwe who cram into a building to hear the gospel. How many of them end up saved? We want to reach them, we want to preach to them, but God must reconcile them. Let me show you three things why this is a false reconciliation between David and Absalom that is somewhat comparative to what many in the church have today. Look at them with me carefully. One, it was a product of man. Today, man, in his wisdom, seeks religion that bypasses the cross, bypass repentance towards God. Today, many preachers have not made life easy for the church. They preach a message of easy believism. Just pray and you are in. In where? In the church. We're not in heaven. Yeah, you're in. You're in the church. Just pray. The prayer. If you hear me pray, put up your hand and I'll conk you. That's another one. That's another one. That's another one that I led to Christ. That's reconciliation. 1 Thessalonians 5:2. For when there shall say peace and safety, sudden destruction comes upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Watch out how you believe, why you believe, what you believe. If I stay in that bag, and some of you try to make it, not bringing you this gospel. The wisdom of man tells us to forego grace and do good works, that God will accept us on our own merit. God is love. He accepts all. Love, love, love. Paul makes it clear what biblical restoration is. Having made peace through the blood of his cross. By him to reconcile all things to himself. By him I say, whether it be things in earth or things in heaven, anyone in heaven, Jew or Gentile, is in heaven because of reconciliation by Christ. Another reason why this was a false reconciliation is because Absalom's reconciliation offered him no access to the king's throne. None. When David was reconciled, we looked at a number of graces that followed, didn't we? David prayed, God give him the next son, peace. Absalom had no access to his father's throne. It's like many today who say they are Christians and have no access to the throne of grace. Oh yeah, they say I pray at home. But I ain't talking about that. They are still visiting the priest, the confessional booth. Oh yeah, they say they're reconciled, they're in his sins still. You should listen if you have family that are Catholic and say they're going to die a Catholic. Well, yeah, you will die in hell. And there's no reprieve. There's a great gulf fixed. Your destiny is sure once you leave this life. You think I'm easy to stand up and preach? Fear and trembling. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, be persuaded, man. What kind of reconciliation is this? There are many who say they have access to the throne, and you never find them at regular seasons of prayer with the brethren. I have problems with you here at prayer meeting. Big problems. That's a false reconciliation. And some of you live far. But I say to you, your place should be here sometimes. And I'm not driving a hard bargain. So don't think you accept because you live over there. I ain't driving a hard bargain. What's good for the goose is good for the gander. They say they have been reconciled to God, and they find themselves doing other things on Tuesday. We lighten the Lord. Come early. We just spend 1 hour. That's the best thing the lockdown did. Start at 6:30, done at 7:30. Where we can access the throne. Where we can bring our burdens as a congregation to God. Let's see how it goes the next couple of weeks. Let's see how it goes.
Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also, notice the plurality, we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope.
Glory of God.
We come because we have this access. One voice speaking on behalf of the church. Accessing God. Hebrews 10, having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near. Notice the plurality. With a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our body, notice the plurality, washed with pure. Let us hold fast. He's talking about the organized church, the profession of our faith, without wavering, for he is faithful. That promise. That text going to say, for if we sin willfully, there's no more sacrifice. Absalom could not draw near to his father because his conscience was dripping with guilt. He had blood on his hands. And some of us have blood on our hands. Christ's blood. Without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness. You think it easy? So the message before us has some very striking warnings concerning what is reconciliation. What do I care about Absalom and David? They're dead and gone. I'm in trouble with God. I need to know how to be saved. Absalom had no access to God. Some of you don't have that. Some of you can't even get him a prayer. You're so saddled with your sins. Can't get it. And it's not a bad thing, Charlie, because some may get it. That shouldn't get up. And you may know what I'm talking about very well. This is a man-made reconciliation. Offers no access. We need a savior. But there's a last point that I must add to show why this reconciliation fell short. Absalom's reconciliation did not create a cessation of enmity. The enmity did not stop. There was still no peace between him and his father. For the remainder of his life, you got the Bible. You see, I'm just helping you. I'm just forcing you to study the Bible so that you can see what salvation is. For the rest of his life, this man wanted to take down his father. It is a picture of some of you who want to take God off of his throne by attacking the pastor. Absalom was at odds with his father. And this is how many are today. The enmity between them and Christ never ceased. This enmity is seen in how they treat the gospel, how they treat the ordinances, how they treat one another, others, how they treat the Lord's ministers. Go as their light, come then their light, and don't even grant. Absalom responded to Job's kindness. This is the last text I offer, 29 and 30. You know, Absalom dwelt 2 years. Three times it says, and saw not the king's face.
3 times. No upset.
Verse 29, therefore Absalom sent the king, therefore Absalom sent for Joab to have sent him to the king. He's begging now. He's going back to his main sin, where he get his salvation from. But he would not come to him. When he sent him again the second time, he would not come. Joab is down with him. This guy is a troublemaker. Therefore, he said unto his servant, see, Joab's field is near mine, and he have barley there. Go and set it on fire. Go and burn it down. That is his heart. No, I don't make fun of these things here. This exists in the church. Hostility towards people of God. I don't have no fuel to burn down. But people want to do harm to the church. That's the fuel I'm talking about. We had a case with Marumi, telling people all in the village, don't go to that church. Having been so kind to him all of the years, don't go there. And some of them stop. Mike Thomas. So you might be hearing me. This man was still at odds with his father. Here's a man who never saw any signs or showed any signs of remorse over sin. And there are many in the church today like that. Brethren, we have a full-time job preaching the gospel here at this church. I hope you take my words in the context that they were spoken. Therefore, in this message, we see a false reconciliation. There are many today claiming reconciliation to Christ and are at odds with leadership. Still without access to grace. Still at enmity with the King of Kings. May you and I be able to claim what our Lord Jesus said in 2 Corinthians 5 through the Apostle Paul, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. All things are becoming new in Christ, who have reconcile us to himself and have committed to us. The same ones that are reconciled have been given the ministry of reconciliation. You're either a missionary or a mission field. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for the wonderful words of life. We thank you for your help and your enablement in our weakness, in our trials. We pray that you would speak through your word. And even to those who have listened, we pray you will bless your word. Now, we pray, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.
Amen. Amen.